So Luke chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and his disciples began to pick some ears of corn, rub them in their hands, and eat the grain. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" He looked round at them all, and then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But they were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus.
Well, there was a very famous American Bible teacher called J. Vernon McGee. McGee met a man who wanted to argue about the Sabbath. The man said, "I'll give you $100 if you will show me where the Old Testament Sabbath day has been changed. In other words, we should keep the Old Testament Jewish Sabbath." McGee answered, "I don't think it has been changed. Saturday is Saturday. It is the seventh day of the week, and it is the Sabbath day. The seventh day is Saturday, and it is still the Sabbath day." The man got a gleam in his eye and said, "Then why don't you keep the Sabbath day if it hasn't been changed?" McGee answered, "The day hasn't changed, but I have been changed. I've been given a new nature now. I'm joined to Christ. I'm part of the new creation. We celebrate the first day, Sunday, because that is the day he rose from the grave. That's what it means that Jesus has cancelled the written code with its regulations, nailing it to the cross." Colossians 2:14. When Robbie and I go to watch Wales play rugby in Cardiff, we walk past a Seventh-day Adventist church. They believe that because the Sabbath is Saturday in the Old Testament, we should keep Saturday as our Sabbath, as our day of rest. In other words, we shouldn't do any work, and we should keep the day for worship. The British Sunday of yesteryear was quite something. It was a Sabbath. The pubs were closed. Nobody worked unless they were providing an essential service. People didn't eat out much on a Sunday. And we've lost all that now. As you know, the shops are open. We are a 24/7 culture. And I'm sure we pay a price for this. Family life suffers. People work on Sundays so they don't see their children, and so we could go on. I think it is a shame we no longer keep Sunday special. But on the other hand, we mustn't be legalistic. The purpose of the Sabbath, Saturday in the Old Testament, is not rules. The purpose of Sabbath is relationship. with God. The purpose of Sabbath is to remind us that beyond work, our greatest purpose is to know God, to enjoy God, to serve God. The purpose of Sabbath is to know Jesus. I'm not going to make rules about what you can and can't do on a Sunday. As we've seen, the early church makes Sunday the Lord's Day in place of the Jewish Saturday. I'm not going to make rules about the Lord's Day. I think we should keep the day for church and for family, if at all possible. I have a friend whose father told him off for cutting his toenails on the Lord's Day. When my father was a boy, there was no playing with toys on a Sunday, certainly no sport. They were just meant to sit and read worthy books. I'm sure it did them good. But I'm not in the business of defining laws for you. That is for your conscience. What I want to show you today is verse 5. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is proclaiming that he has authority over the rules and regulations that govern the Sabbath. He was the creator of Sabbath. He could do whatever he liked with it. He had the authority to overrule the Pharisees, the Pharisees' traditions and regulations. You know, they'd created 39 categories of work which were banned on Sabbath. Very strikingly, Jesus abolishes Sabbath and institutes the Lord's Day as a day of worship by rising from the dead on a Sunday. But we can go further. The Sabbath speaks of Jesus. The Sabbath is fulfilled in Jesus. When we have our sins forgiven, we rest in Christ. We enjoy eternal rest, the rest that comes from knowing God. The Old Testament Sabbath looks forward to this. So the point of Sabbath is to know Jesus. Henri Blocher, the French theologian, says the narrative of Genesis has two peaks: mankind and the Sabbath. The creation story in Genesis emphasizes the creation of people in the image of God. And Sabbath, as a principle, we are to enjoy God. Blocher continues, this would be better expressed by saying that mankind crowns the world, but that Sabbath is its supreme goal. This protects mankind from total absorption by the task of subduing the earth. It informs humanity that he will not fulfill his humanity by work. He will not fulfill his humanity by work, but only when he raises his eyes above. Now here in Luke 6, Jesus has been teaching that he is the fulfillment of Judaism. He's come to save ordinary people like us who suffer from the sin disease. He deliberately eats with those who know themselves to be sinners. Religion can never heal the sin disease. Going to church, singing hymns, even reading the Bible, certainly not making rules about Sabbath. None of these things can save us from the sin disease. And this is our greatest need. We've been given life by God, but instead of recognizing his right to rule us, we've rebelled against him. We've said, I'm not going to thank you for giving me life. and I'm not going to live my life, I'm going to live my life without reference to you, God. I'm doing my own thing. The Pharisees, who are religious leaders in Israel and Jesus' opponents, they believed that the sin disease could be healed with law. So they created 39 categories of work which were forbidden on the Sabbath. And Jesus, well, he rides roughshod over these laws. Technically, he harvests on the Sabbath. And he works by healing on the Sabbath. Why is he so provocative? Why doesn't he just keep everyone happy? Why not just keep the rules? I tell you why not. Because if he had done, his listeners would not have been saved from sin. The only way to be healed from the sin disease is to turn to Jesus. He is the healer. He is the savior. Religious rules will never save us. So, two headings on the screen. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, so come to him for healing. Firstly then, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Verse 1. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and his disciples began to pick some ears of corn, rub them in their hands, and eat the grain. The commentator, Leon Morris, says, the Pharisees would find in the plucking of the ears a breach of the regulation which forbade reaping, and in the rubbing in their hands, that which prohibited threshing. Throwing away the husks probably represented winnowing, while eating showed that they prepared food. Four distinct breaches of the Sabbath in one mouthful. So, verse 2, some of the Pharisees asked, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Now, Jesus was a good Jew. He makes that very clear. He does keep God's law. What he doesn't keep is human regulations. And Jesus wants to show that keeping the law had at its heart human well-being. You were allowed to do good on the Sabbath. After all, although God rests on the seventh day, in the account of creation in Genesis 2, this doesn't mean that he's doing nothing. He still sustains the world by the word of his power. And actually, necessary work is permitted on the Sabbath. And Jesus takes us in verse 3 to the account of David and his companions in 1 Samuel 21. When they entered the tabernacle, the tent, which was the forerunner of the temple, and they ate the consecrated bread. They ate the consecrated bread, which only the priests were allowed to eat. When I was a young Anglican clergyman, I went on a diocesan conference to Oxford, and it fell to me to deacon for the bishop, who was very famous, internationally famous. To deacon means to prepare the communion table and to assist the priest as he celebrates the communion. And in the bishop's case, he would call that Mass. He was celebrating Mass, the most holy moment in his view of worship. I came from an evangelical position. I didn't believe that the Holy Spirit would fall on the bread and the wine and literally make them the body and blood of Jesus. Furthermore, I had absolutely no experience of deaconing in a Catholic Mass. So I started to do things wrong. The bishop spent the half hour before the service deep in prayer. Sure, this was a very good thing, but nobody gave me any instructions. And I have to admit, I don't believe we get right with God through religious ritual. We're made right with God by trusting in Jesus. Therefore, church ritual is of much lesser importance. So I started asking the bishop what he'd like me to do as the service progressed. He wasn't very pleased with me. Gave me instructions, but eventually he just took the job off me. I'd offended his sense of propriety. And it was like that for these Pharisees. Jesus says, David just ate the holy bread. Where is his sense of ritual? Where is his obedience to religious rules? David ate the bread which only the priests were allowed to eat, and he gave some to his companions. See, the important thing about Judaism is not the religious ritual. It's that it points forward to a day when we will be right with God through the Jewish Messiah, through Jesus himself. And so, verse 5, then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." In other words, you don't need rules, you need to know me, says Jesus. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. So secondly, come to him for healing. Don't go to religious ritual. Don't go to legalism. Come to Jesus for healing from the sin disease. Verse 6, on another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching. That was allowed. And there was a man there whose right hand was shriveled. Now at this point, Jesus could have done nothing. He could have protected his reputation within Judaism. Verse 7, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. What would you have done? I would have been so tempted to be diplomatic. Just smooth things over. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But verse 8, Jesus knew what they were thinking. He is God. He knows their thoughts. And Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or destroy it?" You were allowed to save life in Jewish law. You were allowed to rescue an animal if it fell into a pit, let alone to heal and restore a person. Verse 10, he looked round at them all and then said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. Now you would think this was a good thing, wouldn't you? Verse 11, they were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. This is an astonishing verse. The Pharisees, well, they were good people. They were law-abiding. Of all people, they were law-abiding. They were the pillars of the community. And here they are, when confronted with the most loving man who ever lived, and they begin to plan how they might kill him. What is it about religion? What is it about religious people that makes us love rules, love our ritual, love our regulations, and hate life? Extraordinary thing, isn't it? Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. It's all about him. So come to him for healing. I wonder, have you come to Jesus? I wonder what you're doing here. Have you come to Jesus? Or have you just come to church? Just come for some religion? Is Jesus Lord in your life? Or have you just created a religious corner for Jesus? You keep him in the corner of your life. And the rest of the life is for yourself. Perhaps you are very religious. But have you come to Jesus? Have you asked Jesus to forgive your sin, to rescue you from sin and from death and from hell? Have you made Jesus your King? Do you know Jesus as your friend? Do you love him? Do you know that he loves you in a personal way? He is the Lord of the Sabbath. So come to him for healing. The man with the withered hand knew to whom he should come. Have you come to him? One of the saddest things I've seen in my church work is evangelical people who go back to rules and start getting uptight about rules and regulations, as if they've lost their first love of Jesus. That would be tragic if that was true of any of us here. Do you love him? Do you know that he loves you? Let's pray. Let's take a moment for each one of us to talk to the Lord. Jesus loves you. He's died for you. He wants you to know him. Will you receive that and welcome him into your life? Allow him to be Lord. Allow him to be King. Let's take a moment of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are so much better than mere religion, than mere rules. Thank you that you died for us. Thank you that you forgive us. Thank you that you give us new life, the life of your own spirit, your own presence within us. Lord, save us from being merely religious people. Please, would each one of us know you and trust you in a personal way. And forgive us, Lord, if we ever feel superior about our religion, our religiosity. Save us, Lord, from falling back into rules and legalism. Help us to live life with Jesus, with you, for your honor and glory.